Hello, Internet. I'm your husband, host Travis McElroy.
And I'm your wife, host Teresa McElroy.
And you're listening to Schmanners.
It's Extraordinary Etiquette.
For Ordinary Occasions. Hello, my dove.
Hello, dear.
How are you? You woke up with a little crick in your neck.
Crick in my neck. Well, it happens.
It's a medical term, I believe. Yeah, weather.
I'll work it out.
Illness, weather, bedtime backflips. I don't know.
Nope, what do you do? No backflips.
Just did you ever see that? You didn't grow up with cable, but did you ever see the commercial where the guy goes to sleep and while he's asleep, Gorilla comes in and like basically flips him all around the bed and like rubs his head? And it's to explain like how you get bedhead. And like the gorilla's just standing there, just flipping the guy around, and he wakes up and his hair standing all over the place. You ever see that?
Nope.
Maybe that happened.
I saw the one where they put the wine glass on the bed and they jump around it.
That's not nearly as good as the gorilla flipping the guy around. Or the one for Orbits where she calls him a cootie queen and a lint licker.
Oh, yes. Really, I have that, seen, that I one's saw great. That one. That's a good one.
And IDK, my BFF Jill. Yeah. It's a good one. We had a baby, it's a boy. Anyways, welcome to Schmanners.
How'd I miss that gorilla one?
How'd you miss the gorilla one? I'm excited to talk about this episode.
Yes, it was your idea.
It was my idea. That's one reason. Two other reasons. One, I know that your favorite Disney animated movie is Sword in the Stone.
Yeah. Well, I mean, okay, yes. Yes, it is. Followed very closely by Sleeping Beauty, which is also a medieval time period.
Sure. But I don't feel like you had to.
My favorite princess movie. Let's divide it into.
Okay, let's do this.
Let's all divide right. it into regular and then princess movie. Okay. Favorite princess movie, Sleeping Beauty.
Uh-huh.
It's beautiful.
Yes.
Favorite regular Disney movie.
Uh-huh.
Sword in the Stone.
Okay. Okay. Whew, okay. I got to update my ledger.
Yes.
But the third reason is so we're talking about nights, right?
Yes.
Like what it was really like to a day and a night. And that's it. Okay. And the thing is, this is one of those categories. You know that thing went around where it was like, guys think about the Roman Empire a lot, right?
Oh, yeah. Yeah. I remember that.
Oh, yeah. It was like a month ago. And
it was more than a month ago.
Sure. And that's true. But I would say for me, like, there are certain time periods and categories where I think, could I have done that? Would I have done well? I think there's a part of me every day that thinks, if I was alive in a time where, like, all it took to be a king was, like, a piece of paper that you forged that said you were, like, distantly related to the royal line and the ability to convince people to be like, hey, come with me. Let's get that guy out of there and put me in there. I think I would have done well.
Okay.
I'm not saying I might have been king, but I would have been a really good sidekick to somebody who wanted to be king where I'm going, yeah, sounds good, man. Let's do that. So let's talk about knights.
Okay.
They started in 1950.
No. Quick shout out. If there are any other historical jobs that you'd like us to do a deep dive on, email schmannerscast@gmail.com because we've already done Victorian maid.
Correct.
An old-timey doctor.
Uh-huh.
And garden hermit.
Yeah. We also did one of my favorite episodes was the... It was like the ball where we did the debutante's ball, mm-hmm. right? I really liked that
we
one.
Did Puritan Christmas.
Yeah. Any kind of deep dive into a very specific event or person, let us know.
Okay. So we need to go through what we think of versus what we know. Okay.
Well, are you lucky? Because I've seen A Knight's Tale.
Uh-huh.
I've seen A Sword in the Stone.
Yeah.
I've seen probably a lot more. I would Camelot, Spamalot, Jamalot.
Monty Python.
Oh, Jamalot is one I made up, but it's a store where they only sell jam.
Uh-huh.
No jellies. Get out of here. You're asking for jelly?
Oh, wow.
So, a knight? Do you want me to tell you?
Well,
tell
okay.
Me?
So, no, here's the thing. A lot of what we think of is Hollywood movies, not actual historical references.
Yes.
In fact, a lot of what we think of was actually made up at the time of medieval nights.
Well, yes.
Because what they were doing was not what we think they were doing.
Well, I actually, can I say what you will about A Knight's Tale, and what you will say is that it's an amazing movie. But you have the Chaucer character who's just like, yeah, let me make up this dude's whole, like, backstory and intro about all the amazing things he's done and how good a knight is and all that stuff. And it's like, this guy wants money.
Yeah.
This guy, well, at first he's doing it for money. So in A Knight's Tale, in the beginning.
That's not what this episode is about.
Oh, right. Okay.
This isn't a recap of Knight's Tale. Okay. So here are a couple of myths we need to go through. Knights were not the people's champion. Okay. They were management.
Uh-huh.
So knights swore allegiance to wealthy lords in exchange for land and power. In return for these huge tracts of land, knights would keep the peasants in line in any means necessary.
They were cops.
Kind of.
Okay.
They were kind of hired thugs.
Okay.
Because this, quote, code of chivalry that we've talked a little bit about, right?
Yeah.
As in the fantasy of chivalry, the amorphous fantasy of chivalry, we were kind of like, go listen to that episode. There's a lot to unpack.
Well, I think, in all seriousness for a moment, if I may send jokes out of the room, when I talk about, like, men think about the Roman Empire and knights and cowboys and pirates and stuff, right? I think it falls into that thing, that kind of made-up nostalgia people do a lot, where they're like, ugh, it used to be better when I was a kid, right? Or like, I wish we could get back to how great it was in name time period that they didn't live in.
Yeah.
Because I think, especially when it comes to it being misogyny, it tracks back to like this time when men were men, right? Mm-hmm. And that kind of weird concept, that toxic masculine, and women were women and men were in charge.
And dogs were dogs.
And dogs were dogs. And that tree, that's a tree. and that lake has a lady in it. And I think it's this thing of a fantasy nature that we try to treat as a reality, whereas it's like, no. This isn't like dragons and stuff. This really happened.
And in fact, like this Code of Chivalry, episode 202, if you're interested, really was made up kind of as it was happening.
Propaganda.
As propaganda, right. The idea that knights were like, they had some kind of code was made up to make the knights who didn't really have a code look better.
Well, because it really sells that idea of like, of course you should listen to them. Of course they're in charge. They're inherently better than you.
Yes.
They live by a code. They're not just like status better than you, but like as people.
If we're going to go completely literally, cheval is a play on the French word cheval, which means horse.
Yeah, it's a horse rider.
So it's more about don't fall off your horse.
Don't fall off your horse. Feed your horse.
Take care of that horse.
Take care of that horse. It's hard to replace a horse back in the day. They were the cars of their day.
So
horse, the pre-car.
A pre-car?
It was a car before a car. I put the car before the horse.
So there is a medieval historian who says, in the early Middle Ages, church councils were praying to be delivered from the knights. That's when the chivalry kind of like came in, where they were like, maybe if we tell everyone the knights are supposed to be good, the knights will believe that they're good.
Well, because it was also like tax collectors, right? Because like the Sheriff of Nottingham is this kind of deal, right? Of like, they weren't really like there to protect anybody or take care of anybody. One of the reasons I think the churches were like, oh boy, is because knights would show up to churches and be like, hey, money please.
Yeah. Again, the whole chivalry thing is pretty vague. It's got a couple of like, I guess, pillars of things like be kind to women and respectful of nobility. Maybe it's attend church every day, or maybe it's, I don't know, fight till the death. I'm not sure.
Yeah.
Okay. So if you were a knight, you were probably a rich kid already.
Okay.
All right. There's not really any historical basis for the scrappy young man who comes from nothing and becomes a noble knight because he's so honest and brave and true.
Yeah. I mean, even in a knight's tale, they kind of had to lie.
Yeah.
They definitely had to lie.
They definitely had to lie.
Or you can pull a sword from a stone.
Also a lie, but great.
What?
Great idea. So knights were almost always born into nobility. There was some kind of like noble line moving through that because you needed the cash,
yeah.
Right? You had to acquire all your own armor and weapons and horses and have some place to keep them.
And people. Because like, yes. You couldn't put on your own armor. You couldn't get on your own horse. You couldn't pick up your own lance when you were on the horse and wearing the armor. And you wanted somebody else to like knock the dings out of your armor and sharpen your sword and feed your horse and clean your house. You had to have a staff.
Yes. So all of this stuff means that if you were destined to become a knight, there were several increments of training that you had to go through. They were usually about 7-year periods.
This is when you were a page, right? Oh,
so I'll get to that. I'll get to that. So first, you would stay home in the care of your family for the first 7 years, okay? People would teach you basic etiquette and maybe even some like reading or writing, but that also comes a little later. Most knights, like you said, started as pages for their local lords. So a page was a servant to a lord or a nobleman or even, you know, another knight. And it was kind of a prestige servant gig.
Yeah. Right?
So you had normal kind of servant-y duties, which is why in The Sword and the Stone, he does a lot of dishwashing. But it was also agreed that you'd be taught to do things like hunt. Again, he does that in Sword in the Stone, right? Or care for horses. And like I said, you might be taught to read or write at this point in your training. And then once you got a little older, in those next 7 years up to like 14 years old, you'd be taught to ride and you would be taught like basic combat techniques, usually like with wooden swords and stuff like that. And then once you turn 14, you would graduate from page to squire. Again, in Sword in the Stone, he's really excited when he becomes Sir Kay's squire. And Merlin is like...
It creates some beef.
It does. Merlin's like, what? I was doing a better job with you and he's a thug.
Yeah.
And it was kind of a prestigious thing.
Luckily, or perhaps as fate would have it, there was a sword in the stone.
So the promotion of the squire is like kind of, it streamlines your duties. So you don't have those like normal servant-y things anymore, like dishes, for example. You were considered a formal knight in training and you'd be assigned to an established knight to shadow. So, you know, no more dusting and emptying chamber pots for you. Now you were in charge of the upkeep of your knight's armor, as well as accompanying them into battle by carrying supplies and banners and things.
Sure.
It was also an exciting promotion because now when you practiced fighting, you got to use real weapons. And you had a little bit of your own armor because you weren't expected to march into battle completely uncovered.
Yeah, no, right? That'd be wild.
That would be wild. And
are we going to talk about jousting?
A little bit.
Okay, yeah. Great.
It was expected that you would look out for your knight and he also would look out for you. By doing this, he would teach you things like riding and swimming and fencing and archery and wrestling and weapons and dancing.
Now, all of this, I think, as I'm hearing it, I think we should add the word ideally.
Yes, ideally.
Right, because there definitely were, I would say, a position of privilege where the main thing was you needed to be rich.
Mm-hmm.
Kind of gives me the idea that maybe not everybody was going into knighthood for, to steal a phrase, the right reasons.
Yeah. Yeah, that's okay. True. But
although I would watch Who Wants to Be a Knight, a reality show where in the end they get knighted by like an actual like country ruler. I would watch that show so
I know you would.
Hard. Are you kidding me?
Speaking of knighting, once you turn 21, you were officially eligible
to drink
to become a knight.
Oh.
No, you could drink way before that. This is the Middle Ages, babes.
All right.
And it's called an accolade. That's what the ceremony is called. And it would usually take place during a festival like Christmas or Easter, right?
Okay.
And then you would take, so in order to become a knight in your accolade here, you would take a ritual bath followed by an entire night of prayer.
Okay.
Yeah, the whole night you were supposed to pray.
Well, and who's then, tracking that?
Your knight maybe is watching you.
Are
you
allowed to sleep? He's not going to stay out. Are you kidding me?
You don't know that
drunkard? That's what I assume.
So in the morning, the squire would kneel, swearing his loyalty to the lord or king or whoever that he served. And then they would complete the ceremony by tapping each shoulder with the ceremonial sword. We've seen that in movies. Yes. And that part is pretty accurate. The squire knelt in the beginning, but then he would rise as a knight, right?
Yes.
And that's when your official thug duties began.
Okay, we're going to talk more about that. But first, how about a word from another Max Fun show?
All right.
Max Fun Drive 2024.
Max Fun Drive? What about it?
It'll be the best time for someone to support the podcasts they love.
Oh, yeah. Drive exclusive gifts, special events, and of course, all the amazing bonus content.
Yeah.
So, what's on your mind? Check.
Well, it starts March 18th, and it's only 2 weeks long.
And? Check.
Well, what if they miss it?
Well, they should follow Max Fun on social media, or sign up for the newsletter at MaximumFun.org/newsletter, so they don't miss it. Otherwise... checkmate.
Who guests on Jordan, Jesse, Go?
I mean, we could just list Patton Oswalt, Kumail Nanjiani, Maria Bamford, whatever.
We couldn't remember all of them.
So we asked my kids.
Famous people?
How famous?
I don't know. Pretty famous.
Really tiny celebrities who would go on this train wreck instead of a big talk show.
There's just a bunch of people on your show.
Jordan, Jesse, Go, a comedy show for grown-ups.
All right. Okay. All right. Okay. All right. So, duties.
Duties.
Let's talk about duties, duties, duties.
You are expected to fight in any military campaigns backed by your boss.
Okay.
So again, you were hired muscle. You were also expected to show bravery, whatever that meant at the time, and to keep your nobleman's land in check. So, you know, if the times were peaceful and everyone was as subservient as expected, maybe you might partake in a tournament. Like you've basically woven a knight's tale throughout this entire episode. And the tournament in that movie is pretty accurate.
Yeah. I mean, it's not that far out. We see this repeated throughout history, whether it's like the Colosseum or like rodeos, right? Anytime where it's just like entertainment helps keep people happy. Happy people are more willing to pay taxes and not overthrow the leader and not stage any kind of revolt, right? If you're like, hey, check it out. Hey, okay, yeah, I know I'm not a great leader, but tournament. this is cool. Another reason, and this is where you and I differ, because my research is, I heard somebody talk about this once, and I'm pretty confident I remember it.
Uh-huh.
But I'm pretty certain, as we talk about like training and stuff and jousting, It is where we get carousels from, because they would have a horse, right, rotating around, right, with the rider, and you would be on it, and they would spin you around, and that's where you would aim for the ring, right, or you would aim for another horse, because they didn't want to risk a horse getting hurt, because, as we said, horses were very hard to come by, right? There wasn't just, like, go to the horse store and pick one up.
Right, yeah.
They're expensive and important. And so you would get on, like, a wooden horse that was on a big, long arm, and they would, like, spin the arm around, and you would aim, right? And so then they made that into a ride for kids, and that's how we got the horses circling around. And then, like, you grab the ring and stuff like that. So jousting practice led to merry-go-round.
We may have recommended this, but there is a merry-go-round museum in Sandusky, Ohio.
I hope it's still there. I mean,
I think it's still there. They have an original merry-go-round from, I can't remember when, the 19...
Old times.
Old times.
At least 80 years ago.
And it goes so fast. I really recommend it.
We looked that up, though. We've talked about this where, like, we remember going, like, 80 miles an hour, so, and it's, like, 15. Still fast.
Still fast.
Still fast, but we remember it, like, whoa, the world's a blur.
It felt really fast. Okay. So these tournaments were known as Hasseludes.
Okay.
And that means, like, the there were several events within. We've got the melee, right, which is the free-for-all fight, which you could do either on foot or on horseback. There's the tupinere, which is a duel a little bit like fencing, where you get certain points for hitting certain spots on the body. And then the joust.
Yeah.
This became the most wildly popular event, and was also probably the most dangerous.
Yeah. Yeah.
Because human and horse riding at each other, trying to knock each other off the horse, can result in a lot of damage to human and horse.
Yeah. Well, especially when you talk about, like, the point was not just like, oh, I ride by and I poked your face, or like with my finger or whatever, which also probably would have been pretty dangerous, but more of like, I'm coming at you with this giant wooden spear, and when it broke, it's more dangerous than it was before.
Yeah.
Right? And the idea of like, oh, the intent is to try to knock you off, right? There's just so many things that could go wrong. But just like Colosseum, just like a lot of things throughout history, that was part of it, right?
Yeah.
Like, if you think about it, listen, we ain't that much better. Football is not that far off from, like, what a big hit. And we hate when someone gets hurt. The difference is now at least we pretend to hate when someone gets hurt. I do. Like, football's not that far off as far as, like, or organized sports in general. Right. But football, I would say, has this, like, violence element to it, or like hockey when it's like, yay, a fight. Right. Like, this idea, we're not that far beyond it, you know?
But not every day is tournament day.
I always said that. That's one of my, like, and, you know, some days.
And hopefully you won't always be going to war. So if you're a knight who's just, you know, kicking it on your noble land, here's what your life might be like. A typical schedule for rich kid turned servant turned personal warrior. Let's say you wake up tomorrow and you're in the Middle Ages and you're
feeling like P. Diddy.
respected knight named Sir Fancy Pants.
Okay. That's not what I would have chosen.
What would you have chosen?
I mean, probably like Sir Travis or something, but like Sir Thunder. Sir Lightning.
Okay.
Sir Thunder Lightning.
Sir Thunder Lightning. You probably have a stately manor house on your nobleman's land because he pays you well to keep things orderly. And while not all knights would marry, maybe you have. And so your wife is also there. The home, possibly the wife, was gifted to you by the lord you serve.
Okay.
And you share it with your servants. You may have children as kind of like continuing your line.
Sure.
We'll talk another time on how many children are expected to survive.
Oh, okay.
So now that you're awake, first thing you do, church.
Okay.
Yep. Got to go to church, which would probably be pretty close to you.
Okay, that's good.
So you wouldn't have to go very far. You might even, if you are very favored, have your own chaplain and chapel in your house.
Ideal.
So then you would do your prayers. This is about dawn, by the way. You would do your prayers and then come back for breakfast, which would usually
once
be...
again, we talked about this last episode before. Breakfast before church. Don't make me... Why am I going to church hungry?
Right? I know.
It's a terrible idea.
So you
this
would
idea,
have...
it happens a lot, especially in Catholicism, of like restraint and stuff and like fasting and all this stuff. I don't understand. Why doesn't God want you to be happy? Go on.
Anyway, so breakfast is usually bread and dried fruits or meats, something like...
That's not that far off from what I eat now.
Sure, yeah. And mead.
Well, it's healthier than water.
At this point, yes.
Oh, sure, at this point. Yeah, that's what I meant.
And you're well off, so you can afford butter and maybe cheese.
What a day.
And so you would then... after you've broken the bread, you would break away from your wife and your wife would go and do their daily duties and then you would go and do your daily duties.
Okay.
So after breakfast, weapons practice.
Sure.
You have all that energy from eating, right?
Sounds great.
This could be educating your page or your squire, dueling with, you know, wooden swords or blunted weapons. And then you might have time to work on your own skills like target practice, with maybe archery or...
Accounting, also. Typing.
No, but you could use... There are a couple of, like, dummies that you would use at the time. This is part of your equipment, right? Called a pel, which is kind of like a medieval punching bag.
Sure.
Right? So it was meant to be hit with the full strength so you could measure your accuracy and the force of your blows.
Sure.
You might also practice with a tree or a dummy set up to look kind of like a person.
Sure.
Right. So after this kind of physical practice, then you would do study of strategy.
Mm.
Maybe update yourself on any potential threats that you might need to quell. But if times remain peaceful, this was a great time for you to train for tournament.
Take a nap.
No, probably not.
Oh, man.
And then you would pray again and then eat lunch.
Okay.
Which is probably a lot like your breakfast.
Okay.
Yeah.
Turkey wrap with some mustard.
In
cherry
the afternoon,
tomatoes, because you got to eat something.
In the afternoon, this was reserved for, quote, softer skills, such as dance.
Crochet.
Well,
typing.
No.
Accounting.
But business times, right? This is might be when you might be asked to call upon your Lord to see if there's anything that they need from you.
Hey, bud, you need anything?
No, you might
bored.
You might accompany them hunting or hawking or inspecting their land for rowdy peasants.
Okay.
And that was probably the biggest activity of your day during peacetime, was kind of just making your rounds, making your presence known, because as management, you were expected to deal with anything that might arise on the day.
Hey, peasant. Yeah, so I'm going to need you to come in and work on Saturday.
Supper? Might actually be a grander affair, either at your manor house, or you could go to the castle hall with your boss. And of course, you know, you got to pray before you eat.
Of course.
But after prayers and supper, which probably was like roasted meat.
Nice.
Maybe vegetables, depending upon the time period. And, you know, wine.
Sure, I've heard of it, yeah.
So after that, there could be entertainment.
Movies.
No. Oh. music.
I've heard of that, yeah.
Dancing.
Okay, this is where I need to know how to do that.
Yep.
Yeah.
Jugglers, acrobats, jesters, things like that, right? And this didn't happen every single time, but usually a king or a lord would keep somebody who knew how to do kind of these things.
Can I say, as much as in my younger days, I was like, I think I'd be a knight. I'd be a jester.
Yep, totally.
Oh my God. Could you... You could have given it like, yeah.
Well, here's the thing. I think that while you would have made an okay knight, you would make an excellent jester.
Yes.
Why squander your gifts?
Yeah, that's true.
Is what I'm saying.
A jester or a herald. I think I'd be a great herald, too. Like, hey, everybody. bad news. I'm not saying this. This isn't coming from me. Don't shoot the Travis. But doubling taxes. Okay, bye.
Yeah. Yeah, so that sounds like a pretty typical day, right? Lots of praying.
Lots of busy work.
Well, you had to keep up appearances.
But this is right? What I'm saying is, like, I think that...
And your wife would probably also be continuing to keep up appearances by giving alms to the poor, you know, wrapping up the leavings from your breakfast or whatever and giving it to the peasants on the street.
But I think that... When people think about knights, right, mm-hmm. they picture, like, riding off on missions and slaying dragons and posing dramatically atop their horse on a windswept bluff or what have you, right? And this just sounds like, yeah, wake up, train, do stuff, do this, check on things, talk to this person, practice this, train, have some dinner, maybe watch somebody tell a joke or two, go to bed.
Yeah.
And it's like, yeah, it's not adventure.
This was a job.
Yeah.
Right? And you were compensated well for your job. And some people took this job a little more seriously than others, for sure. Right? That's when we talked about earlier how, like, the code of chivalry was kind of, like, made up at the time to try and maybe make people think that knights were better. Maybe make the knights think that they should do better. Right? Because
at the very least inspire, like try to inspire, I guess, like those young rich kids who are going to be knights of like, and it's not just about the position. Look at the glory of it. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. I wouldn't say that this was a cushy job because in the Middle Ages, there's no such thing as a cushy job.
No.
But it is kind of, like I said, it's
you steady.
Steady. You had to keep. But you did have to do a few things. You had to keep in shape if you were going to keep the peasants in check, right? You had to know what you were doing and be kind of like ferocious about it.
Yeah.
But you were still beholden to somebody who basically gave you everything you have.
Well, that's the other thing, right? When we talk about when you think about like, when men were men, like you swore fealty to this dude who, if that dude was like, hey, these peasants are getting real uprising. If you could go in and just like kill 50 of them, that would be awesome. And if you were like, well, I don't want to do that, they'd be like, okay, cool. You're in prison now and I'm going to give someone else all your stuff because they'll do it.
Yeah.
Not ideal. That part's not ideal. I like the roast meat part.
Oh, yeah.
And having some wine with the Lord and having a house. Not wild about the part where I'm doing Lord-imposed violence and corruption. Not wild. That part doesn't get me. I want to be the people's knight. I want to be the people. Who gives me my authority? The people do.
That would be great. But
the best part is
fantasy.
I don't need that to be respected by the Lord. That's kind of the point. You know what I mean? They don't have to acknowledge it. The people do. Mm. Wait, I'm thinking of The Rock. The Rock is the people's knight. Now that I think about it, Dwayne The Rock Johnson is the people's champion. Okay. You know what? That position is taken. I would love to be a jester for The Rock. I would take that job any day. No, Kevin Hart has that job. Every good job's taken. Hey, everybody, thank you so much for listening. This is a very fun episode. Thank you to myself for having the idea.
Uh-huh.
Thank you. Sorry, excuse me. What was that?
Thank you to Alex,
our writer and researcher. Hey, I was about to say that. Thank you to Alex, our writer and researcher. Without you, we couldn't make this show. Thank you to Rachel, our editor, without whom we could not make the show. And thank you to you for listening. I'm your champion. I do it all for you, no matter what Teresa says. It's a new month, which means new merch over at macroymerch.com. So if you haven't checked it out, go over there and do that. We're doing some live shows in Chicago in April, doing My Brother and Me and the Adventure Zone, as well as appearing at C2E2. You can go to macroy.family for all the info there. What else, Teresa?
We always thank Brent Brentelfloss Black for writing our theme music, which is available as a ringtone, where those are found. Also, thank you to Bruja Betty Pinup Photography for the cover picture of our fan-run Facebook group, Schmanners Fanners. If you love to give and get excellent advice from other fans, go ahead and join that group today. As always, please continue to submit your topic suggestions, historical jobs.
Yeah.
We'll add that in. Idioms, questions.
Have we ever done a biography on Marie Antoinette?
Hmm.
I think that'd be really interesting.
To schmannerscast@gmail.com and say hi to Alex because she reads everyone.
And that's going to do it for us. So join us again next week.
No RSVP required.
You've been listening to Schmanners.
Manners, Schmanners. Get it.
Maximum Fun,
a worker-owned network
of artist-owned shows,
supported
directly
by you.